This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/minute.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, September 28th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. A nudge in the right direction. Earlier this week, a NASA satellite crashed into an asteroid with the goal of pushing it just slightly off its course. The test is being considered a success, but has it taught scientists enough to save the planet in case some other asteroid is actually on a collision course with Earth? On today's show, our science reporter Aylin Woodward joins us to discuss how the mission went down, what we've learned so far, and what comes next. That's after these headlines. The CEO of the bankrupt cryptocurrency lender Celsius is stepping down. Alex Mashinsky submitted his letter of resignation to the company's board on Tuesday, according to his law firm, saying in part he was very sorry for the, quote, difficult financial circumstances that customers are facing. You might remember that earlier this year, Celsius froze customers' assets as the price of cryptos plunged before it filed for bankruptcy protection. Mashinsky co-founded Celsius in 2017. His resignation is the latest in a wave of CEOs departing from crypto firms amid the current downturn. Meanwhile, another crypto lender in bankruptcy, Voyager Digital, has found a buyer. Sources say the crypto exchange FTX will pay around $50 million for Voyager's assets, but the total deal is valued at more than $1.4 billion, since it includes about $1.3 billion in deposits from Voyager's customers. While many crypto firms have been going under during the downturn, FTX has been aggressively buying up distressed assets as part of an effort to save the troubled sector. Car rental company Hertz and energy firm BP are teaming up to develop a network of electric vehicle charging stations across North America. Under the terms of the deal, BP's EV charging business, BP Pulse, would power and manage Hertz's charging infrastructure. The rental car company has set a goal of making a quarter of its fleet electric by the end of 2024. So far, it's signed deals with Tesla, Polestar, and General Motors. Intel is making a push into the lucrative market for video game graphics cards. Currently, that market is dominated by Intel's competitors, NVIDIA and Advanced Micro Devices, while Intel has been a leader in chips for personal computers. But its CEO, Pat Gelsinger, signaled yesterday that the company would make a play for the video game space by pitching its chips as a cheaper alternative to gamers. The market for graphics cards has boomed in the past few years, both because of pandemic demand for video games and because those chips can be used for artificial intelligence. And Facebook parent Meta says it's removed networks in China and Russia that were running covert influence campaigns related to U.S. politics and the war in Ukraine. In a blog post yesterday, the company said it had taken down a small network that originated in China and operated across multiple social media platforms. Meta said that network had been targeting U.S. voters ahead of this year's midterm elections, and that it pushed anti-government sentiment related to the Czech Republic's foreign policy towards China and Ukraine. A separate large network that originated in Russia was also removed. Meta said it operated more than 60 websites that were designed to look like legitimate news sites, and that it targeted Germany, France, Italy, the UK, and Ukraine, spreading narratives in support of Russia. All right, coming up, a victory for planetary safety. We'll discuss why a satellite destroyed 7 million miles from Earth has scientists cheering. That's after the break.
This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
What?
The sounds of success.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
As NASA scientists celebrate crashing a satellite into an asteroid on purpose.
And we have impact.
On Monday evening, the spacecraft, part of the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART, collided with the space rock to test whether it could be pushed off its course. Now, this asteroid didn't pose a danger to Earth, but scientists were testing the technology to see if it could be used if, in the future, one does. The asteroid that NASA chose was called Dimorphos, a 525-foot-wide rock orbiting an even bigger asteroid known as Didymos. By measuring the orbit of Dimorphos around Didymos, scientists hope to see that they have changed its path. So, when will they know that, and what other lessons are they taking away from this literal crash test? Joining us to discuss this is our science reporter, Aylin Woodward. Hi, Aylin. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Zoe.
So, experts say this asteroid posed no risk to Earth, but the idea was to move it in case we, you know, need to move one in the future. And we know it hit, but when will we know if it actually moved the asteroid?
So it's going to take weeks for astronomers on Earth to utilize observations from ground-based telescopes. So almost 40 telescopes across 7 continents are all looking right now at the asteroid system where the DART spacecraft hit. And so over the next weeks, astronomers are going to be trying to calculate the change in Dimorphos' orbit, the change in the orbit of the asteroid that the craft hit. And they can calculate this because these telescopes see the distant asteroid and the one that it is orbiting around as a single point of light. But the brightness of that light dims ever so slightly when Dimorphos passes in front of the other asteroid, and so the frequency of that dimming can be measured. So right now they're going to look at what changed in that frequency.
How much are they hoping to move it?
So right now it takes Dimorphos, the asteroid that got hit, about 11 hours and 55 minutes to orbit once around Didymos, the larger asteroid. And so they hope to shrink that by minutes. And actually, one of the experts I was talking to said that could change by anywhere from 7-ish minutes to maybe even up to an hour. And the extent of that change really depends on the properties of the Dimorphos asteroid that scientists don't really have a great handle on yet. The only images we've had of Dimorphos up to this point have been sort of fuzzy radar images that were collected almost decades ago. And so the images collected from the DART spacecraft's onboard camera before it impacted are really going to help sort of hone in on those composition and density and mass estimates. And then the European Space Agency is sending another mission there with the hope of landing on Dimorphos on 2026. And that mission is going to sort of, one, help characterize the impact crater from the DART spacecraft, and then also really cement the asteroid's mass. And the reason why it's really important to sort of understand all these characteristics about the asteroid and then understand how much momentum got transferred and therefore how much the asteroid's orbit got changed is because it helps astronomers and scientists hone models of other asteroid impacts, of other asteroid mitigation scenarios that aren't necessarily this one. So it's helping our computer models a lot.
So orchestrating, you know, a hit of an asteroid that's millions of miles away can't be easy. How did they ensure that it got to the right place at the right time?
That's a great question. The impact occurred 7 million miles away from Earth. At that distance, using the Deep Space Network, it takes more than a minute to get a signal from the spacecraft to Earth and back. And so they had to develop this autonomous navigational system. They call it SmartNav, and it's basically the craft is steering itself for the last minutes of its life. And the way they facilitated this is SmartNav will lock onto the dimmer of the two objects that it sees in its field of view. And so it was extra tricky because the spacecraft couldn't even see Dimorphos until like an hour before impact. For the past weeks, it's been aiming at this single point of life that represents both Didymos and Dimorphos. So Dimorphos sort of peeked out around behind Didymos around 6 p.m. yesterday, so about an hour and 15 minutes before impact. And then the scientists had to tell SmartNav, okay, we have a different target in our field of view. Please lock onto that one and head towards that one. So that's why it was so tricky.
So what comes next after this success?
Well, I spoke with NASA's Planetary Defense Officer, Lindley Johnson, and he told me that sort of the technology that DART has demonstrated, this kinetic impactor technology, is just one tool in NASA's planetary defense arsenal. There are other technologies that are less mature that I think perhaps NASA might pivot to testing out now. So one of those is an ion beam deflector, so where they fly a spacecraft up close to the asteroid and they shoot a bunch of ion beams at it in the hopes of sort of altering its course. Another option that they're exploring is something called a gravity tractor, where they go and they park a spacecraft really close to the asteroid, and the gravity of the spacecraft affects the gravity of the asteroid and sort of tugs it along into a new orbit. And then, of course, there's also always nuclear deflection on the table. So the idea, a little bit like Armageddon, where they detonate in the hopes of breaking up the asteroid. And of course, this comes with a lot of issues because you don't want to break up one big rock into a bunch of tiny rocks that then hit Earth instead. And of course, nuclear fallout is an issue. But the reality is that many of these technologies, including the one displayed in the DART mission, they require 5, 10, 20 years of heads up in order to be successful. And the nuclear detonation option does not. So another thing that they're doing, really, because they know they need this advanced warning time, is they are working on sending up a space telescope called the Near Earth Object Surveyor. And that space telescope will help astronomers spot asteroids that have so far been hidden.
All right, that's our reporter, Aylin Woodward. Thanks for joining us, Aylin.
Thank you so much for having me today, Zoe. I really appreciate it.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. For more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, you can give it a 5-star rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Free Expression, a new podcast from The Wall Street Journal with me, Jerry Baker, editor-at-large of The Wall Street Journal. It's a podcast in which we're going to be trying to do something a little different, dig a little deeper into the issues behind the headlines that are in the news all the time. So please join me for my new podcast, Free Expression, with Jerry Baker at The Wall Street Journal. We're very much looking forward to really having some fascinating conversations, and I very much hope you'll join us.